Hello, and welcome to another episode of Capsule Arts Podcast. Today, I'll be your host, Dr. Jovan Lazo. And today, I am honored to have two gentlemen with me today to kind of talk about men's health. Pat and Cam from the Men's Health Unscripted Podcast, going to have you guys come on here today, kind of talk about men's health, some of the things that are important and valuable that we should all probably know, some general tips and some misconceptions that we might have about some of the things that relate to men's health. But before we get into today's episode, I just want you guys to go ahead and kind of introduce yourselves to our audience today.
For sure. So I'm Patrick, and I'm a pharmacist as well. Graduated class of 2022, USF, and proud host of the Men's Health Unscripted podcast and owner of Blue Zone Health Advocates in Tampa, Florida.
I'm Cameron. I actually graduated with Patrick from USF, class of 2022 as well. I am a nuclear pharmacist in Kentucky and also the co-host of Men's Health Unscripted.
A nuclear pharmacist. I swear. Yeah. I feel like the more people I meet, the more interesting careers I learn about. So we're going to have to talk later, Cam, because I'm going to have to know a little bit more about the nuclear pharmacy, because I've always thought it was super interesting. The hours are crazy. It's not like a typical pharmacy hours, but also, here y'all make bank, so we gotta talk later.
we're definitely excited to hear that you talk to students about what else you can do with the PharmDs aside from the two paths that we know, retail and hospital. So we're pretty stoked and pumped to touch base on what me and Pat do in our own professional time.
Definitely. So before we get into all that, I want to go right into men's health because it's obviously a topic that's not really talked about. And that's why I believe the podcast that you have, your platform, is important because it's really shedding light and knowledge on things that a lot of people feel either ashamed to talk about or don't believe is important when it is important. So to get started, what would you all say are maybe like two or three misconceptions about men's health?
The biggest one I think that we all can agree on is that as a society, especially with some of the older world views, it's that men can't talk about their feelings. We can't talk about our health concerns, our issues. There is, as we see, a pretty good raise in awareness and the need to talk about our mental health and our physical being, spirituality, and things like that. But there's still that old world view that we need to be stronger. We need to be kind of like the stone face of manhood. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people kind of burning themselves up and then crashing.
Yeah, I'll second Cam on that. But I think one of the biggest misconceptions about men is that we have these like fruitful lives, which we do, but there is a huge epidemic in men for loneliness. And then that leads to men are actually four times more likely to die by suicide. So there's a huge issue with male loneliness. Men have reported having less and less close friends that they can confide in, hang out with, talk to about real issues. And so a lot of that is what our podcast is really built around, is finding a place for men that they feel comfortable and a general community for men to understand that, yes, we all have these problems. Cam and I are open enough to talk about our own lives, other people's lives, our guests' lives, but then having that as a way for guys to find out who they are and embrace the productive masculinity rather than the toxic masculinity. But masculinity is essential to society.
And I think another really big misconception is that a lot of guys feel that no one cares or no one wants to help them. And that kind of leads us to shut ourselves in. And it's nice to get on platforms like this, or maybe you have a clinic nearby, you have something nearby, or you find a relationship where your partner actually is open and does care about things, because it kind of shows you how good, how fruitful life can be. And just because you want to ask for help doesn't mean you can't find it. So it's a misconception that we can't find this stuff.
Yeah. And I want to run that statistic back. You said it was men are four times more likely to commit suicide.
Yeah, it's like 3 and 3.8 something, but it goes, it fluctuates. It goes like 3.7 and 4. I think the latest data was like right after COVID. And the loneliness had increased. And I say that just because, a lot of guys are like, yeah, I got buddies, I got friends, I hang out with like 15 dudes on Sunday and we watch football. It's not the like cars, chicks, sports type friendships. I mean, this is real deeper friendships, someone that you know you can call when shit hits the fan. Do you have that? Any of your listeners, men specifically, just because that's who we target. Guys, sit back and think, do I have a good friend or two that I can talk to outside of the general dude conversations? That's like the first way to start the thought process of, am I lonely? Do I need to do something about this?
And it's kind of unfortunate because a lot of times guys will have that inner monologue and they'll realize, I don't have a friend that can talk to you about this.
Or at least you don't think you do, right? Yeah. You're too embarrassed. You know, there have been many times in my life where I've held things inside because I'm just too scared to say XYZ is going on and I don't know what to do, or confide in a friend about a relationship that's gone wrong or something like that. I mean, there's all kinds of things to talk to your buddies about. But the biggest thing is being able to get over the hurdle, the mental hurdle of saying, I can't talk about this, or there's no one that's willing to listen, or everybody's going to think I'm soft. They're going to call me Charmin and tell me I'm soft because I, you know, I've got a story to tell, something like that. But that mental hurdle right there, getting over that, you'll be surprised how many people care about you.
And so I'm sitting here thinking, because I've always been expressive. So I've probably been a little bit different, but I was just like sitting here thinking, and I don't know if either one of you want to share on your personal life, but why do you believe it is the way that it is with men? Is it from the upbringing? Is it an innate factor? Is it times have just changed to where more people are on their phones and playing video games rather than being outside and playing sports with one another where they're building camaraderie? Or it could be, you know, all of those could attribute to it, right? So just kind of like, I don't know if you have any research or any things that you can kind of talk about to why you think now it's four times more likely for men to commit suicide than it was probably lower in the past. These rates are alarming. You see these things on social media, a lot of different clips talking about toxic masculinity, or talking about how men need to do this or men need to do that, or men need to behave this way or that way. It's like, where do you think all of this is really stemming from?
It's a great question. Men's health is a relatively new topic. I mean, yeah, you have Men's Health Magazine, you have some other outlets, but actually having a space for men to talk about what's going on, it's pretty new. I mean, when Cam and I got in on this, we were, you know, a lot of people were like, that's so innovative. Nobody is doing that. So, I mean, I know we weren't the only ones, and I know there's this huge push. And I would say Cam and I did a car show about a year ago. And that was like the first, we'd been doing this like already for over 2 years at that point. And that was the first time that somebody approached us at, we have like a little trade show set up where a guy said, you guys are talking about men's mental health, and was excited, engaged us. And I'm, and we have some really funny ways of engaging people, especially men, like very funny ways, and get guys to come talk to us and stuff. But I will say that I would not be surprised if this has been a much longer issue than what it's kind of, it's just now being brought to the forefront because enough people are speaking up about it. But I would say it's probably like this because of the traditional societal norms that, I mean, we're kind of getting out of them, right? As we get into the 2000s, where more women are working, kids are kind of going to daycare more. There's not, maybe not necessarily a stay-at-home mom or something like that. And men have always gone to work. You're the breadwinner and those kind of things. And it's like, well, I have to keep my mouth shut because I still have to go to work on Monday because I have to feed my family. And I think that guys have put aside their health and their own well-being to maintain the family, to maintain, you know, how things, I guess, traditionally are thought of being. And so now guys are starting to realize, like, you know, we had COVID, which was such a huge issue. And people started to realize, like, am I, you know, working too much? Like, what's my lifestyle like? All these things that COVID brought to the forefront, I think it really helped guys kind of hit the brakes and say, what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think like there could be a whole lot of research into something like this, because let's be honest, it's all going to be subjective data based on what like a patient would say. And then also you have to get us to talk about it, which we're probably not going to do up front anyhow. But if you want to retrospectively look at it, it's going to be like that historically. You know, if you want to go back to caveman times, men were hunting. we don't have time to ooga booga about how we're feeling about the fire that night. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to get out there and take down that tiger. So it kind of pushes forward. You go, you know, into the modern industrial age. Men were working in horrible conditions in factories, like doing crazy, you know, Henry Ford-ass long days because he wants to get that Model T on the lot. And then going home to their family, it's already dark. You know, dinner's been cold for a while now. So they're not going to have time to talk about how bad the day was, how it made them kind of feel, and how, you know, they have a leg pain now that's new. They're not going to go to the doctor. And then so myself, I'm sure we'll talk about backgrounds more later on, being I'm from the military. So mm-hmm. when you're young, you know, 18, 20s in the military, you're busting around, you're talking a lot of shit to each other. You're not really concerned about how your health is doing. We actually make fun of each other for going into the sick call. If you have a problem and you have to go 5 days on what we call light duty, we'll call you a malinger. We'll like make fun of you. And okay. like, it's not even just like lower levels, like the higher level, like NCOs and officers will like talk shit to your face in front of everybody about it. So we're not really helping each other. But then unfortunately we get out, that like separation, that loss of purpose kind of sets in. And then people start killing themselves. And then that's when, unfortunately, most of the time you start to realize that's when this stuff is more important. Taking care of yourself, both mentally and physically, is more of a bigger deal. People coming back from World War II, you know, fathers were coming back and they were being very aggressive. They were struggling with just the absolute horrors that they saw over there. And there was no VA, there was no talking to anybody, there was no back like support when they came back home. So it unfortunately was being taken out on their families. So it still kind of continues that way today, but luckily we have some support that is present. It just needs to be kind of taken advantage of more frequently, but it's definitely something that's been historical. It's a collaboration of all that you said earlier. It's that whole like nature versus nature, or nature versus nurture thing. It mm-hmm. is all of it together. I don't think it's a verse. It's they're both going to play their role in how we are raised, how we are like developing, and how we grow as a person.
Yeah. And it's such a challenging topic to talk about because it's probably so subjective for so many different people. And it's hard to really come up with a clear-cut answer because so much has been going on in society for so many years, so many decades, that it's kind of probably been passed on and ingrained. And now it's becoming so prominent just because we're talking about it. Like, it's always been there, but now we're talking about it. So now it seems like this is new, but it's really not. It's been there. And one of the things, though, that I believe that probably is new is probably there's probably a lot more resources available for men to probably access and use. Do you guys mind kind of talking about different resources that men can use who are struggling with able to express themselves or struggling to be able to find an outlet to vent to or to communicate with someone?
So I'm going to pause really quick. We're going to get back to this.
Yeah,
I will say, so being pharmacists, Cam and I were like, let's talk about men's health. We're going to talk about being in, you know, good physical health and like all the metabolic things that you think pharmacists are really excelling at, right? And so a couple times a year, we do an Ask Us Anything in January to like kind of start the year. And so this past year, we got an overwhelming number of audience members asking us about relationships. And we're both like, we're pharmacists, not relationship coaches. What's going on?
Not relationship pro.
Yeah. Right. But the biggest thing, I think one of the biggest things that guys have struggled with, and this kind of goes into the outlet question, is you'll have guys with partners and their partners say, well, I want you to be more vulnerable. I want you to be more open and blah, blah, blah. And then once the guy's like, yeah, I feel comfortable enough to do this, they might have a good cry in front of their partner. And, you know, then it's like kind of the guy feels like the relationship goes downhill from there. Well, she wanted me to be vulnerable and show who I am and do these things. And I did. And then she called, you know, for lack of a better term, she called me a pussy and cheated on me. I mean, this is like real. You're right. We laugh, right? But it's true. This is happening to men all over the place. So imagine you tell someone your deepest, darkest secret, something that's really, truly hurting you, a very traumatic event. You decide to share this information and then they stab you with it in an argument later down the road or right there on the spot, or they just lose faith in you as a man, which none of those things make you any less manly than you are. In fact, having the courage to be able to say it might make you more manly. But
The issue is that once that happens to a guy, you're burned. And it's really difficult for us to be able to go back out in the world and try and repeat that behavior, right? Because you got burnt. It's like touching the hot stove. So that, you know, guys, you know, this is coming from us. Be careful who you share your intimate situations with. There are people out there that will love you and trust you and you can trust, but make sure that when you're sharing with the right person. That's a good start.
And I know you're not a relationship coach, but this is about to be a relationship episode. Let's go. Let's do this. I was going to ask, is there tips or certain ways to kind of measure to see if that woman that you're talking to is someone that you can express these feelings with?
That's kind of difficult, let's be honest, because we may think we know someone, and then as that individual did, they shared and it completely turned their world upside down. Because I don't think for that guy, that particular person, it was like a short-term relationship. I think they've been together for a while. Yeah,
they've been together for a long time.
And then it just, so time might not even be a factor. I think, unfortunately, it's going to be one of those things where you have to kind of go with your gut to kind of feel and judge how that person is and just, unfortunately, hope for the best. Like, shoot your shot out there and then hopefully don't fucking smoke that shit down.
I think something that would be a good telltale is, do they respect your boundaries? Right. If you can set a boundary with them and they can respect it and understand why, and if you can articulate why you're setting this boundary, if it comes into question, that's a good first step, right? Because that means they have a lot of respect for you. The people who continue to overstep your boundaries don't give a damn about you. I'm going to step that. That's a first, like, big red flag that maybe this relationship might not work, or being vulnerable with that person probably isn't a great idea. That's a good one.
We do a shameless plug on that too. We've had some guests on our podcast that do go into relationships and how it does kind of affect, you know, men's health and perspective on that. And that was a big point that a lot of them made, is that those boundaries are key to kind of establishing that trust. So if those are being trampled, your trust is going to get trampled.
Right. I would say number two, another big one, are they willing to share with you? And maybe not the same situation, but something equal. And then do they go and tell their family and friends all your deep, dark secrets when you decide to finally talk about it? Are they, you know, do they keep it tight? So I think those are a few different ways. You can't, now somebody might be really good and they might be able to do all those things and still stab you. And you got to chalk that one up as a loss, right? But I think those three things in the time, Cam and I have been doing this for over 3.5 years, and we're, you know, in May, I think it'll be 4. Those are three really good telltale signs whether or not you have somebody that you can trust and rely on and is like the ride or die that they may or may not say that they are. I think that's a good start. The intricacies of the relationship have to unfold as well. I mean, we can't, you know, that's not something we can diagnose, right, for lack of a better term. But those are good starters. And if you see these things in a person or characteristics, you might have a pretty damn good partner on your hands.
And would you say that could even be used with men as well when it comes Absolutely. To finding the guy friends that you can actually be open and transparent with? Like you said, it's important. I know for a fact I have a couple, doesn't matter what's going on in my life, I know I can reach out to them and just be honest and transparent. Just let it go. Hold nothing back. Not all my guy friends. I'll be honest with you. Some of them have turned me into a meme. So I know not to share things with them anymore. I learned my lesson. But, you know, there's going to be certain people that you can do that with. And for me, it's just been life experiences. It's like kind of like what you said. I've told them things and they just never told anybody. Maybe I told that to a couple other people and then they were the ones who spread it, but these two people never did. So I knew I could trust and rely on them because I told them in a moment of secrecy, in a moment of privacy. So that's how they felt it should be kept. And so it's like, all right, that's honorable to me. And that's like somebody that I feel that I can trust as a best friend with any of my thoughts, any of my emotions, any of my feelings. And also, I think a big thing for me that I value with my guy friends are they check me. they love to check me like, hey, bro, you're just wrong. Like sometimes as men, we feel like we know that we're right, but they're not afraid to like not be a yes man and be like, no, like, bro, you're completely wrong. Like you shouldn't do this. You need to apologize to this person, or you need to do that. Like you're thinking of this the wrong way. You also have to look at it from this perspective. And it's like, wow, I didn't think about that. And so it's like those are some of the things that I use to help me kind of gauge which guy friends are ones that I can be honest and transparent with.
I'd say you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, I mean, the best bet right there is, as you put it, the same kind of stuff that we said applies. Same thing you said. It's, you kind of got to find out. And then once you find out those guys, you know, that's the guys you know you can trust for it.
Perfect. And so sitting here, when I think of men's health, first thing I think of is fitness, right? It's the workout. It's being in shape. But there's layers to that. It's not just fitness. It's also mental, right? There's also mental health. And I would say there's also nutrition. I feel like that people tie that in with fitness. But that, to me, that's two different things. Because I see people who go crazy in the gym, but they eat a whole bunch of unhealthy food as soon as they leave that gym. And so I want to talk about all three of those those traits or those layers. And I wanted to start off with mental health. And when it comes to mental health, what are certain exercises, certain things that you all believe men should be practicing? Maybe it's journaling, maybe it's doing yoga or whatever the case may be, to help them either express their thoughts or be able to handle their emotions better.
I think a big one that I always try to talk about and advocate for is just awareness. Like I find it to be crucial for an individual, regardless male or female, whatever sex you want to come into, that if you have an awareness about yourself, about your actions, like you're going to be able to analyze yourself a little better. You're going to control some anger. You're going to increase that focus, and you're going to also have better communication with those around you. And you're going to see like, oh, I'm acting like an asshole right now. I need to step it back a little bit. Or, oh, I'm actually not in this bad of a situation, so I can now move forward. And instead of going to those deep emotions like anger and depression, you're kind of level-headedly tackle things, whether it be regular lifestyle stuff, work, working out.
For sure. I'd have to agree with Cam and add just another word there that he kind of already described, as accountability. We have to hold ourselves accountable. And I think Cam and I are old men in this game a little bit, in our mid-30s. But what I think is what we've seen a lot with younger people is that they like to point the finger. And I'll just say, anybody, if you're there and you're young folk, old folk, whoever, anytime you're pointing the finger at somebody else, there's three always pointing back at you. And so I know that sometimes, like, hey, sometimes things in life are out of our control. Most things in life are probably out of our control, but we are in control of ourselves 100% of the time. And so if you're being accountable with yourself, that's like the first step right there. Like if you know that you're not, you know, going to the gym, waking up from bed on time, not eating the right things, all those things are things that you're able to correct yourself, right? Those are all things you can be accountable for. Like, if this is for, you know, if you're talking to people like not getting your work done, students, adults, whatever. So that definitely applies. Yoga is a tool to express physical discomfort, use the physical discomfort as a mimic for the discomfort that you deal in in life every day. And it's a way to breathe. You are regulating your breath through this discomfort. So like, let's say you're doing a hot yoga class. It's 95 degrees. It sucks. It's hot. You're still exercising, so it's even hotter. And now you're out of breath. If you can use your breath primarily through the nose, in and out through the nose, you can regulate your heart rate. Like when I was a student, I was in a doctor's office and this dude kept coming in and he's like, my heart rate skyrockets, my blood pressure skyrockets, I got a bunch of stress. I start talking to him and you realize like, okay, he's got a kid on the way. He works a really stressful job. So there's a lot of things that are building up. He's not sleeping well. He's mouth breathing a lot. He is experiencing the classical symptoms of anxiety, right? Yeah. And I just told him, like, hey, dude, before we start anything, I'm going to need you to just take 10 deep breaths. And his response after he did it was, I don't think I've ever taken 10 deep breaths for myself in my life. And that's just 10 deep breaths. Taking that time for yourself is super, super important. And you're able to use yoga as a tool to regulate your nervous system. So when your boss is being just a nut and you want to punch that guy and you want to, like,
yeah,
was it like Stone Cold Steve Austin? You know what I mean? Hitting Vince McMahon with a stunner.
Yeah.
Stone Cold's like the most relatable guy ever. Everybody wants to beat the crap out of their boss, right?
Yeah.
But when you're in that situation, you can regulate your nervous system to a degree that you don't feel that way anymore. So that's, I'm a huge advocate for yoga. I'm glad you brought it up. And also there's a bunch of different ways to kind of lock in the mental health, but everything kind of works different for everybody. One thing that I will say, I'm really hard on myself. Like, I beat myself up about the littlest stuff all the time.
Yeah, sound like me.
We're all pharmacists. We're all high performers here. Yeah. Anybody who made it out of pharmacy school and you're practicing in any degree, you're a high performer, right? So that's like baseline. We're all high performers. And it's really easy to be hard on ourselves, or when you're working in a stressful environment, you got patients' lives on the line. Like, it's easy, very easy to be stressed out. The one thing I can say is when you do something good or you accomplish something, write that shit down. Write down how you feel in that moment, because in a few days when shit hits the fan and you hate yourself again, go back to that book and read it and that journal and read all about all the great stuff that you do. And that's actually really helped me kind of regulate my brain here. It helps me sleep better at night, just because in the back of my mind, it's like, all right, I'm not focused on this like new shitty thing that I've undertaken, and whether it's made up or not, you know how guys, our brains are crazy. Yeah. Like, but just get stuff going. But when I go back to that book, I can think like, okay, I did some stuff that I'm proud of myself for. And it's, don't do it for other people. Don't do it because you made your mom or dad proud. Do it because you made yourself proud, right? Do it for you. That's all I got for that.
I've been kind of on the ledge there thinking about whether or not if I should do it next year, because every year I try to embrace a new challenge. And so I was thinking about trying to improve my flexibility and mobility. And so one of the things I was thinking about doing was probably yoga or trying to get involved in calisthenics. So I'm leaning towards definitely doing yoga right now. It sounds incredible. The breath work, the ability to calm yourself down in a stressful state to actually be present in the moment. I feel that's one of the toughest things that I struggle with. And I'm sure if you're a pharmacy student listening or a pharmacist, you probably struggle with this too. Your mind is always on go. I am thinking probably 1,000 different things in 1 second. So it's like, sometimes I'll say something, I forgot what I said 5 seconds ago, just because my mind is focused on so many other things. And it's important to be grounded and centered and focused in the present. And that's something that I've been trying to do. And I've read books about like breath control and doing deep breaths. I'm not a big meditator, but I do try to like tell myself a mantra in the morning or at night to kind of like center myself, relax myself, and bring me back down like to earth and realize like, hey, like, you're human. It's okay if you're not able to accomplish all these things you set out to do. I'm a big to-do list type of guy. It's okay if you don't accomplish all these things. It's okay if you failed at something. What did you learn from it? Don't just harp on the mistake that you made. Think about, how can this be avoided in the future? What did you learn from this experience? How can you move forward? Try to always turn this negative energy into a positive one, if possible, or whenever possible. And that's something that has helped me a lot. It definitely was something I didn't learn until probably my second year in pharmacy school. Because my first year, I honestly thought about quitting. So I just felt dumb. I didn't have any intern experience. So it's like, I didn't know all these meds and community. Like, I just didn't know brand names, whereas a lot of my classmates spent time as an intern or as a tech. So they were a lot more familiar with this. And like you said, we're all high performers, probably in undergrad. And you go into the space and you're surrounded by other individuals who, before, I was always at the top of the class, and now I'm in the middle. And it's like, this isn't who you are. You're supposed to be the best. But then you ground yourself, you kind of take some deep breaths and you just analyze what is really the goal here. The goal here is to pass, is to graduate. You don't have to be the top of the class. It doesn't matter where you are in the class. It's about graduating. And then after that, you start all over again. You're at ground zero once you graduate. And that's something that I had to learn. I think it was spring semester of my first year. I was like, hey, you're almost done. Just wait it out. Finish the rest of this year. See how things go and change up your study habits. And so what worked for me in undergrad did not work for me in grad school. I had to switch up how I studied, how I prepared for things. And that also helped me tremendously. And that's just like one of the perks and values of having a great guy friend. It goes a long way to helping you be present. But one of the things that I just really appreciate was you talking about the breath work. And I feel like that kind of lead to that patient being present in that moment to kind of relax and not be so stressed out about the family, about work, about all these other things, all these other factors, but to be able to like decompress and take a moment to be present right here, right now, and just appreciate this moment.
Yeah. Let's take a quick side note kind of for our students who are in their first year and stuff like that. If you come into pharmacy school and you don't have experience, I started off with no experience. Same. And yeah, you have those classmates that know brand of generic names. Who the fuck cares? Because
you tell him, Cam.
I was getting so mad because, like, oh yeah, I know Zestiril. Like, I don't. Who cares? Like, they don't know the mechanism of action. They don't know like interactions. They don't know anything else. So that they have that memory. Don't knock yourself down for that, guys. Like, it's everybody's every class. It happens to everyone. That's all they got. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing, if anybody's in their first year, what everybody's got to realize about the first year is that everybody's coming in from all different backgrounds. You got Cam, who's a Marine. You have me. I was working in pathology and coaching baseball. You've got your typical pharmacy techs. You have people that have been volunteering in the hospital and then everything in between. The goal in the first year is to get everybody on the same page. Now everybody's on a level playing field for year two, three, four. Last thing, depression. You're living in the past. If you feel like you're depressed and you're thinking about stuff, probably thinking about all the crazy shit in the past. Yeah. Anxiety, you're living in the future. You're thinking all the bad shit that's going to happen to you in the future. And then being at steady state, you're living in the present. The past is the past. The future is the future.
The past is the past. The future is unpredictable. So we got to stay in the present.
Stay in the present.
I like that. So anxiety is about looking ahead in the future. Depression is about staying in the past. And then I guess joy and happiness would be being centered in the middle.
Right here.
I like that. I might use that. You might have to trademark it.
No, go ahead. You can have it. We're going to keep using it. So if you trademark it and steal it from us, just give us the rights to it.
I got you. And I wanted to ask you, gentlemen, have you ever done therapy?
Yeah, I've done therapy, you know, post-military. I didn't do it very long. I definitely need to stay there longer. Recently moving, I'm actually working on finding, you know, the next therapist and the next programs up here for that. It is beneficial. Like, you go to a therapist and they may not fit. Yeah. So you shouldn't quit, and people will quit. You need to find the next one, try them out. And it may take a few. Some people get lucky and the first one they smack on is a banger. And that's great. But some people need to slap a couple more before they find the right one.
Yeah, I think the good thing about therapy is that you go somewhere for an hour and you get to just talk about yourself and they have to listen.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like a paid friend.
All jokes aside. Right. All jokes aside. And I will say, though, a good therapist is not going to tell you how you live your life. That's something to be mindful of when you are going to your first appointment. A good therapist is going to help you find the answer that works best for, big surprise, you. You have a third-party opinion that doesn't live your life. They don't know anybody in your life. And they're able to help you walk through the crazy shit that happens and be able to process it and understand, like, oh, maybe here are my next steps, right? But they're generally going to ask you questions about what works for you. A good therapist will. A bad therapist is going to point the finger and say, you should, and give you a bunch of unsolicited advice.
Yeah. I've recently been going to therapy just to try it out. I don't believe it's really been helping me, but I see the value in it. And kind of like what you were talking about, Cam, maybe this therapist just isn't the one for me, because I need someone who's going to challenge me. I remember there was a long time ago, I went to UCF for undergrad, and they had like these like counselors and stuff like that. Like basically people who are in training to become like a counselor or something like that. And I met with one of them, and hopefully she stuck with the career. Let's just say you got to go get her boss because she know what to do with me. And then the boss came in and he was like, you're very intelligent. Like you need a high level person to help you. And so we had like a little bit of a conversation because he was more higher up since he was the boss. But he was like, to be honest with you, I don't think anybody here can help you. Like the type of questions you're asking and the way your brain thinks, it's so methodical and it's so introspective that you need somebody who's going to dive deep inside of you. And it's like, these people are just learning. They're not good enough. So it's like, and that's something that I believe I still need to find, because like you said, everybody's kind of in a different space, in a different area. And it's like, I want somebody to really challenge the way I think and really dig up maybe some inner issues that I don't realize I have. Because a lot of things I feel as men, we probably just bury issues, but we don't even realize we buried them. We've just been so quiet about it for so long that it like you have to find somebody to really dig deep inside of you to unbury all those things so that way you can actually unpack it. And so that's something that I'm currently trying to find. Hopefully I find it. But it's something that, you know, I think it is important that you said that, Cam, that hey, it's okay if you don't find the best therapist on the first go. It might take 2, 3, 4 tries. You just can't give up.
And it's a big point there, but I've actually had the same problem. That's why I've only seen 2 before. I was like, all right, I'm gonna take a break from this stuff. But I would say, not to like kind of level them out, but the better one, she was always like, she would ask a question and then I would respond, but then I would also start to analyze why, like my thought process going a certain way or why the event's happening. And she was like, no. She's like, you're not supposed to analyze. Like, you need to stop that. She's like, a lot of self-awareness, and it makes it difficult for them to do their job. So unfortunately, some of us are terrible patients. I actually actually talk to my partner about this often. If you know what the guidelines look like and you know kind of things that are there, you will tiptoe around certain flags. So being like a veteran, there are flags that will get your ass ran up the pole pretty quick because they're a safety thing. So like, I know these things, so we'll kind of like avoid them. And while it's, you know, intelligence, whatever you want to call it, it's also kind of a curse because, like you said, you need now to find a higher level kind of practitioner who can kind of help you go through that without letting your brain go wild. That is definitely a problem a lot of us do face, unfortunately.
Yeah. I would have to ask Jovan. Yeah. Have you ever found yourself in a period where, and this is for your listeners as well, this is for anybody listening, you, Cam can answer this as well, but have you ever found yourself where shit's just hitting the fan, you don't know why, the littlest thing gets you crazy, and you're just like, all over the place, right? I guess that's the best way I can put it. And you just kind of don't know what to do. So this is how you combat it. You say, hey, boss, you go to your boss call and you say, I'm working 80 hours a week or I'm working 40 hours a week. Can I work 80? I bet you there's some guys out there that's like, you just bury your head in work.
I do that.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's a cheap and easy way to make more money and to also forget about your problems. And this is where my therapy journey, for lack of a better term, started. Is I was working for a pathology company. They've been sold since, so I won't mention them, but they're in Lakeland, Florida. And so we were working. My grandfather was not doing good. He was he was my rock, like my ride or die. I love that dude. He taught me about syphilis when I was in 6th grade, you know, because he was a World War II vet. So like, I learned a lot from him, right? He didn't give me syphilis. He just told me about France and World War II. I just like, kind of had to make that clear.
I don't think you needed to make it clear, but thank you for clearing
all right.
that.
All right. Told me about it. You're right. Right. Yeah. So he told me about all this stuff. Like, I was just getting weird looks. So I was like, wait, they didn't think I like gave it to me. Right. Anyway.
No, never. We wouldn't think that.
But he worked in a VD ward in World War II, so I would hear the craziest stories about Paris and him and his buddies pimping ain't easy, all that good stuff. So I found myself, as he was doing worse and worse, I was telling my boss, I want to work more and more. I don't want to face this. I don't want to deal with my family. I don't want to deal with everything else that comes with losing the person that you care about the most in the world. And what I found was I did that and continued to do that and found myself working 100-hour weeks, making pretty good money, but just being dead. I mean, all the time, dead inside, dead outside, all of it. Probably drinking too much and partying too much when I did have free time. And so self-medicating took effect. And so what happened is when I went to pharmacy school, my life actually slowed down considerably. And that's when I realized, like, oh shit, I need to go to therapy.
Like I said, I do the same exact thing. This actually happened recently. I want to say last year, probably like October, November, I was working probably like 70-hour weeks. Just trying to run from my problems, taking trips whenever I'm off. Like, I don't want to be home. I don't think I stayed like one weekend home for like 2 months just because I didn't want to have to deal with stuff. Like, just like, no, I'm going to be on the go. I just run around doing a lot of things that it's either fun or doing a lot of things to distract me from the work that I really needed to address. And I mean, it was fun, so I'm not going to lie. I did enjoy myself, making the money, but it delays the work that's needed to be done. And once it was done, you know, once you overcome that hurdle, the other side is just so beautiful because you just start to respect yourself more as a man and as a person because you overcame such a tough challenge that you probably didn't think you could overcome. And I'm one of those people, if I could do it once, that means I could do it again. So it's like, if I overcame this, any other challenge that comes my way, I know I can handle. So it's just like, everybody has, I feel, I don't want to say it's a midlife crisis, but everybody has that adversity that they have that will challenge themselves and pull so much out of them that it feels like it's either you overcome this or you die. Like, that's how I felt. And it's like, I had to overcome it. And luckily I did. And that's just led to a much better space since then, to where I can start to be more transparent, think about seeking therapy, which is one of the reasons why I did that, and try to do different things to really keep my mind from going into places that it doesn't need to go to, like staying present. Like you said, if it's in the future, it's anxiety. If it's in the past, it's depression. And so it's like, how can I just keep myself grounded in the present and always stay in the present so I can be focused on the right things?
Oh yeah, and unfortunately for a lot of us, it's harder. It's easier said than done, of course. Like you're saying, like once you've done something, you can always you can overcome it and do it again or even do better. A mantra I always live by is I've always had it worse. So like things get tough, but like in my past, I've always had something that was a lot harder to overcome physically, mentally, whatever it may be, but I'm still here, still standing. So it's not, we all can do it. We all can do it.
Yeah, it's possible. It's just one of those where you have to actually be willing to put the work in. I think that's the biggest issue a lot of us face, is that first we want to run instead of addressing the issue. But if you actually put in the work to attack the issue, you will be able to overcome it. I'm a firm believer that things don't come to you that you can't handle. So it's like, you are built to handle it. The question is, are you going to try to handle it, or are you going to run away from it to the point where that thing is going to consume you, to ultimately lead to your demise? So it's like, you have a choice, either attack it and overcome it or let it consume you. The choice is yours.
For sure.
Okay. So we talked about mental health. There's one, let's see, when it comes to fitness, Actually, no, let's get into nutrition because I want to know about the daddy juice.
Can I just tell a joke really quick?
Go ahead.
It's eating Cam and I up. I can see it in his eyes right now.
Yeah.
I just fitting these nuts in your mouth. Fitness these nuts in your mouth. I'm sorry, dude. I can't.
That like, yeah. Bad. And he said, the choice is yours.
The choice is yours.
I like you and I want you.
I like you and I want you. I'm a warrior.
I'm a warrior too.
I'm a warrior.
We're just like,
I likes you. I got to have you. Fleece Johnson.
Legend. If you've never seen Fleece Johnson, go look that guy up. He is legendary and apparently he's out of prison. So
he is, which is there wearing it down.
Was he in Kentucky, Cam? You might have
He was in Kentucky.
You're looking.
I think he was in Kentucky.
I might have to be careful because like Louisville's like the most populated city, so he might be out here just patrolling for cheeks.
Yeah, man, I'll feel up on your butt too. That's I go to work back in my younger days.
I go to work between like midnight to like 4 a.m. So like those prime booty clap hours.
So you'll probably just miss him.
And now I'm like, shit, where's this man at?
Gotcha. When it comes to nutrition, I believe that's a big aspect that a lot of men are not focusing on. And with nutrition, I want to include sleep. So do you all have, I don't know if you have any specific research you've done, but any recommendations when it comes to a good amount of sleep, the type of diet that's probably best or preferred, et cetera, et cetera.
I'll say
and it's nutritional hard. Supplements too.
Yeah,
if you
yeah,
know
yeah.
Any that are good.
It's hard. But sleep, try to sleep 8 hours. I mean, get to bed at a reasonable hour. I'm guilty of not being able to do it all the time. I own a business and we have a podcast and like, you know, just stuff doesn't work all the time. I get you can't always get to bed at a certain time and wake up. But if you can get 8 hours and then if you can't get 8 hours, the research I've seen is that if you get consistent sleep, so if you know that every single night you can get 6 hours, it's better to get 6 hours every night than 8 hours one night, 4 hours one night. Like basically your pharmacy school schedule, don't do that. Right? Like 8 hours, 4 hours, 3 hours, like that, don't do that. So just find a consistent brick of time that you can get and get that much sleep because your body will acclimate to it and it will do what it needs to do. 8 hours is best. So, you know, as far as that goes, supplements. My favorite thing right now, this goes back to sleep too. Found myself sleeping like a baby. So especially if you sweat a lot or work out, magnesium, replace your magnesium and your zinc, but most importantly, your magnesium. And I personally love magnesium bisglycinate and magnesium threonate together. So take like half a dose of magnesium bis and half a dose of magnesium threonate. And you sleep like a baby. But I think both of those amino acids promote sleep. They promote GABA. They're like along the lines of that whole chemical pathway. But it's always good to replace that. It's like one of those unsung electrolytes, like everybody knows sodium, potassium, and just, you know, magnesium plays a huge role in like blood sugar regulation, all that stuff. So that's huge. And it helps sleep. It helps relax muscles. And I think there's like 8 or 9 forms of magnesium and each one has like its subtle nuances. I like it for sleep because like after I go work out, I pop my magnesium supplement and kind of go from there.
I think the big thing when you talk about any kind of supplement, and a lot of young people overlook this, is you need to kind of consider your sources of all of that. So like magnesium specifically, consider where all you're getting magnesium from. If you're also taking a daily multivitamin, if you're taking like a heart healthy vitamin, you need to kind of look on the back and tally that stuff up because it is, I don't want to necessarily say easy, but you can overdo these pretty quickly. And then it'll start off with GI side effects. So you get the nausea, the vomiting, diarrhea, but some of these can be fatal if you are overdoing some of these salts. So heed caution, don't get a bottle and like, oh, Pat said magnesium, I'm going to do this whole bottle. That's bad.
Yeah, I think like the daily dose is like 400 milligrams. That's your maxing out. So I'm usually like 300, you know, I take 300 after a workout, something like that. But
that's something for those of us who've done like the community side. You will talk to patients and they're like, yeah, I take my daily multivitamin, but then I have a potassium supplement. I have my magnesium supplement, and you're adding this stuff up and they're at like 300-400% of daily intake. And you're like, no, this is why you're either shitting too much or you're shitting bricks right now. Like you are right. out of balance and you're messing up right now.
Yeah. Messing up the gut balance. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
Now I was going to ask, I've heard of other things. Let me see. Like, well, let me ask you this about testosterone. Do you feel like all men should be getting their testosterone regularly checked to see if they need some supplemental testosterone?
I'm not the biggest fan right now of TRT.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. I think it has a valid place in the world. But we deal with a lot of men. And we have a lot of different guys that have reached out to us. I've had young men come to my practice, then they're saying that like they're in their 30s, like early 30s, and they're saying that their testosterone's 400, 350, very low. I think testosterone regulates itself. I mean, you have to take a look at your whole life. Like, how stressed out are you? How much sleep are you getting? I mean, it all comes back. How much sleep are you getting? I mean, sleep controls the whole thing.
Yeah.
So if you're working a high stress job and that cortisol is constantly pumping, it's hard to say that you're going to have normal, like good normal testosterone. So, I mean, there are some holistic things that you can do prior to getting to the point where like, you know, but some people just get adrenal fatigue and it's out of control, right?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it comes back to like regulate your stress, regulate your home life, and really take a good inventory of what's going on. It ain't just the low testosterone on your blood work, right? There's other things going on. The health measures are generally a pretty clear reflection of what's going on in life. Like, I understand there's genetics involved and there's other things that we can't really beat. But if you feel like you're a generally healthy person and the numbers are out of whack, take a look at like what's going on in your personal life and see if some of those things, I mean, I've had patients that I work with at my practice that I remove some of their stress with like dealing with a certain doctor or dealing with something, and they get better. As crazy as it sounds, like they get better because they don't have this constant worry and fatigue of, oh my goodness, I have to go do XYZ all the time. I just like, hey, let me take that off your plate. Let's see how you feel in 6 weeks. And sure enough, I mean, 6 weeks, like their numbers are different. So
yeah.
And I think with testosterone, something we've seen in a lot of the market is it's overprescribed. Again, shameless plug for ourselves. We actually have a lot of practitioners that we've had on the podcast to discuss it. And then there is, you know, there are guidelines for it. There are like low levels you look for. But again, like Pat said, you want to look out for how your lifestyle is. You don't want to go to a men's health clinic and you talk to the guy and you're like, oh, I'm having trouble getting erect. And they're immediately just like, let's get you some testosterone. Like, you need to kind of get to the bottom line and figure this out, because it's not going to be the fast answer you want. And unfortunately, right now, it is kind of overprescribed, because sometimes there are other conditions that are causing this. There's mental concerns, addictions, things like that. And you're not fixing the problem. You're just kind of putting a Band-Aid on it. That the Band-Aid is going to fall off. You're going to get the tolerance to it, and you're going to have to increase the dose and increase the dose. It's got a place in therapy. It just doesn't need to be an immediate walk-in first line.
Yeah, I don't think it's the first line med that, but it, you know what? It generates good revenue. I'm not hating on it, right? Like, if you're, think about it this way. If you go talk to three doctors, you talk to a surgeon, you talk to an endo or something, you talk to, you know, my crazy ass, right? You go talk to the surgeon's going to say, we got to cut you. That's their line of business.
Yeah.
Right. You go talk to the endo. We got to put you on T. You talk to me, I tell you, you need to drink some daddy juice and regulate that stress, buddy. Right.
Yes.
But I mean, if you think about it, everybody's selling, like, what are you selling? Right. So when you go see a practitioner, think about before you go, what's the sales pitch here? Right. Because they might be making money off of you. And like, I've seen it with some young men that come to my office, like they're in their early 30s and they're saying, my, you know, here's my blood work. And you look at their T and it's in the dumps. And you just start to address different things in their life. Like, hey, are you drinking too much alcohol? Are you eating too much white refined sugar? Right. Those things they bring your testosterone down. So just by,
you know, that you said white refined sugar brings it down.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm screwed. I love candy.
I mean, everybody loves candy, but I mean, but no, it's like a real thing. You eat sugar before you go to, like, especially if you eat sugar before you go to bed, like that testosterone's going, right?
Okay.
Something to be mindful of. And again, we don't ever say like, hey, cut it all out, because there's got to be joy in life.
Yeah.
Right. But we can't be eating ice cream and cereal and all this stuff like every night before we go to bed, because you'll never have time. When we sleep, that's when our growth hormone goes up. That's when our testosterone goes up. All our hormone balance like really tries to re-regulate. So if you're disrupting it with sugar, processed foods, and a full stomach, your body's going to spend that energy somewhere else, digesting that food. It's not spending that energy on revitalizing your body and resting.
I've recently gotten to intermittent fasting. Are you all fans of that?
Dude, I just did a 3-day fast and like a water fast with aloe. That's not guideline recommended, but if you look at some of the studies in Japan, prevents cancer. You go into autophagy, all that stuff. Your body starts cleaning up all the blood cells. Do it under the supervision of like a medical professional that understands fasting and understands everything that goes into it. I have a friend who practices in this area, and so she monitors me while I fast. And it's not for weight loss. So it's like, hey, we're not sitting here trying to lose weight with it. But what fasting does, if I found myself kind of hopping the sugar cravings a little bit, I quit drinking a little while ago just for personal health. My girlfriend doesn't really, you know, do it for me anymore. And plus when I did drink, I just really like to do stupid shit. So
fan favorite.
Fan favorite. So I wasn't the kind of person that could just have a couple drinks.
Yeah.
I wanted to have like a couple drinks and then a couple more and a couple more and a couple more. And then I'm all up in some shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we'll just keep it. We'll keep it at that.
Yeah.
So, but what I found from quit drinking is that I started craving things that I never, ever thought I would want. Like I found myself going through Publix and like, I'm in the bakery section and I'm like, damn, those cookies. And like, I just, you know what I mean? And the sugar cravings just started to get crazy. And I'm like, why do I like, I've never liked these things. Like I've never wanted to eat this stuff before. I wanted like the, you know, the cookies at Publix with the, like the icing in the middle dipped in chocolate. I'm like, I never even wanted this garbage before. Why do I want this now? And then I realized like, oh, maybe it's because I stopped the alcohol.
Yeah.
Stop drinking. So those are.
So, yeah, so you are a fan of fasting, basically.
I am a huge fan. There's a lot of benefit. If you look into just letting your body rest from food for a little bit, even if you do it like a couple, it doesn't have to be every day, just like a couple times a week. You'll notice like your body kind of resets itself and helps regulate itself.
How long would you recommend?
For like intermittent fasting or for like a.
Yeah, for
like a full fasting window. There's a lot of different ones. I mean, you know, what do they got? The 16-8, all that stuff. I think the biggest thing from what I've learned is kind of when the sun goes down as best you can, or like before you go to bed, like don't eat a few hours before you go to bed. And then people break their fast like other times, you know, different times of the day. Depends on what time you wake up. But, you know, give yourself a little window of no food, just water. And you'll see like some things will start to change. There's a lot of studies. One of the countries I've seen the most is Japan. They study fasting a lot in a lot of different levels. So you can go down a fasting rabbit hole. I can send it to you if you want. But there was a study where they fasted people for different windows. So they did an intermittent fasting. I think they did a 1-day fast, a 3-day fast, a 5-day fast, a 7-day, I think up to 10, if I'm not mistaken. And they were drawing blood from people at different time intervals. And they would notice like these crazy things were happening. Like I think when somebody got to day 3 is when they started to notice the autophagy was happening. And they're like, this person's white blood cells dropped off. Like what's going on? Then once they went back to fed, their immune system ramped back up, and studying the cells under a microscope and all this stuff, they found the cells had less cellular damage, all these less issues. It just like cleans you out.
Yeah.
So the exact like mechanisms in science, they're in the study, and then I think in Japan, they determined that a certain amount of times fasting a year drops your cancer rate by a ton, like I think 50, 60%. So something to look at. I'll dig that study up. I can send it over to you if you want to check it out.
Yeah.
A big thing we need to kind of like hit on with that is, remember, we're in America. So like, we are not Japanese. While it is a right. human model, there is still a genetic component that is different. And that's a big part of, you learn that in school. When you're going through a lot of these studies, you need to think about that population, because that doesn't fit for us all the time. We're all different. So kind of know your body for that. You know, their diet, their work ethic, their lifestyles are very different from ours. So
yeah.
for them, it may be more effective than what we're going to get over here. Big thing for, especially in our side of the first world, is a lot of people, if you're fasting a day or two, and if you happen to be diabetic or pre-diabetic, you need to rethink some of this, because if you start to feel some of that lightheadedness, some of that dizziness, you start to get, you know, trouble with your vision, you might have some low sugar and it could be potentially dangerous. So yeah. This is not like everybody should go out and do this. You need to kind of know your limit, whether or not it's with fasting or with eating or whatever it may be, just because it can be dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. And have you all ever tried doing like one meal a day?
Oh yeah, I do that now. It's because I work at like midnight, but that's kind of like forced to how it kind of goes for me.
Yeah, I recently did that. I think twice one week. It was just a crazy work day, and I just didn't have time to eat. So I just literally just only had dinner, and I was shocked at how my body felt. Like the first day, it felt weird, and I think I did it the next day just to like challenge myself and try it. And the next day, like my body just adjusted to it, and it was perfectly fine just off of one meal. And I was just like, oh, yeah. Huh, I must really be overeating. Like I could literally just have one meal around like 5, 6 p.m. and I'm good. Maybe a protein shake or something like that, like after the gym, whenever I go to it, and then like that's it, I'm good, just water. And I was shocked by that. And I don't know, I felt cleaner, I felt more alert. I thought I would have been the opposite because I didn't have as much like nutrients inside of me, but I felt like I was more alert and more aware of things. I felt like I was almost on caffeine, kind of like, I don't know. I just thought it was like a weird thing, whatever my body was doing. I was just like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Yeah. We created like such a nice society for ourselves where, you know, we think this 3 square meals a day is kind of like what we have to have. But if you look historically, look back to, you know, pre-times, like you weren't eating 3 times a day, you're eating when you could. And that's why some of us who work a lot of these long hour kind of days, you get one meal in and you can still pull 12, 13 hour days and you're fine. Mm-hmm. We don't need all these meals throughout the day. Some people who, again, need to regulate their sugar, keep eye on that, regulate some of their systems, obviously be mindful of it. But like in the military, same kind of thing. Like when you're out doing field, if you're deployed, things like that, you're kind of eating as you get a chance. So there's been days where you're being out in the sandbox, you get an MRE and there's like a combos bag in it, you know, the little pretzel crackers. That could be all I've eaten for like 20 hours. And like you're out there and that's not like low level intensity. Like you're fucking going.
Yeah.
20 hours on combos. You're going hard as fuck. And it's your body does fine. Now, training is involved for that. Like we're at that level, you're a little different, but the human body's capable of it. So like if you notice, like you can easily overeat pretty quickly with 3 meals a day. So I think one meal a day is, you know, easily doable. We find ourselves bored, unfortunately, most of the time. That's not kind of why we snack throughout the day and continue eating. Yeah. It's not because we need it. It's because we get kind of bored.
Yeah. And I like sugary things. So I like candy. So.
Yeah. Cheez-Its are good too. I mean, nobody ever said Cheez-Its were bad.
Sure. Nobody. Nobody.
Combos. We learned combos are a superfood for the Marines.
It's all about that jalapeno cheese. You get that jalapeno
those
cheese.
Those are good.
we'll fight each other for that stuff.
Nice. So let's get into the daddy juice. I got to know what's in that.
Yes.
That smoothie looks amazing. I'm a big smoothie guy. So almost every single morning I have a smoothie. So
awesome.
Like, yeah. Like I'm a smoothie guy. Everybody knows that. So I got to
know. So daddy juice is... So shameless plug, if you go on our website, www.menshealthunscripted.com, and put your email in that window that pops up, we will send you a free smoothie guide. And the smoothie guide has 3 smoothies. It's got the Keynote Daddy Juice, which we'll talk about in a second. We have one for immunity, and we have one for antioxidants. So like, I guess you could call it a detox type deal. It's got a lot of berries in it. The, you know, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, all those. have a ton of antioxidants. Yeah, man. They're super good for you. I eat a form of berry every day. It's a handful of blueberries, I have strawberries in my fridge at home right now. So like whatever, I try to find whatever's in season or, you know, whatever's available, but there's generally berries available year round that are in season that taste good. And they are just so damn nutritious for you. But the origin of daddy juice. So what do you guys put the most, Jovan, I'll ask you, what do you think guys put the most high value in? Like if you're thinking higher self or men's health, yourself, other men, what is a great barometer for our performance?
You're talking about for guys in general or me?
Yeah, for guys in general. I just want to ask you.
I feel like it's usually money. Engage you a little bit. I feel like for guys, it's usually like a money or a trophy, like some type of medal, something like that.
I don't know. I think it's like our sexual health.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
What do you think, Cam?
Yeah, don't know how much of the phrasing we can use on this compared to other podcasts, but, you know, it's a particular part of our bodies that we like to place a lot of emphasis on.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I'll say this. Like, think about it when you're a kid. Like, how do kids make fun of each other? Like, oh, you got a little dick. You know, they say stuff like that, right? From the time that you're a young man, you put the kids, they bully each other, they tease each other, whatever, about penis size, sexual orientation, all these things, right? Guys put a lot of emphasis on their sexual health. And here's how I'll prove it is because daddy juice has some healthy components in it that help lower blood pressure. You got beets, you got celery, and you have watermelon. Okay. And that's like the base of it. You can add whatever you want to it to like make it taste better or whatever. I lemon and ginger personally. But the beets, you know, they help lower your blood pressure. And so if you tell guys, hey, I got this great smoothie for you, that'll drop your, and beets have shown to drop blood pressure, I think 8 points, like very equivalent to lisinopril first line med. So you say, hey guys, I got this really cool smoothie that'll lower your blood pressure 8 points. They'll tell you to go kick rocks.
Yeah.
But it says, I'm just going to say it and you can edit it out. If you say, hey, I got this smoothie that's going to make your dick punch holes in the drywall and you're going to rename it Kyle, they're going to drink that smoothie.
Yeah. I'm going to drink it from your hands.
You know what I mean?
They probably will. They probably will.
Please, sir.
Right, sir. Whatever you give me.
I have some more daddy's juice.
Yes.
And
yes,
so,
please, kind sir.
Daddy juice is the way to trick men to be healthier because, yes, it does help your sexual health. And Cam and I talk about it on the podcast. Our guests talk about it. A great barometer for your health is your penis. The ability to get an erection, sustain an erection, have morning wood, even though like you don't have to have morning wood every day, but the fact that you get it, you know, a couple times a week is good. Just being able to have an erection, you know, erectile dysfunction, if we're talking about physical manifestation, you're talking about if someone has erectile dysfunction, generally they might have an issue with their heart. I mean, very close. Okay. As far as like the vasculature is very similar, right? A lot of it has, you know, you have valves and pumps and all these kind of things to get the blood in and out. So if it's not working, it could be an early indicator of heart disease. So that was kind of the thing is like, hey, I have a family history of heart disease personally. And so I wanted something that's going to protect me, keep my blood pressure down and keep me healthy. But then also I have the great side effect of having a healthy sex life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I'm sold. I just signed up. So
there you go.
I better get an email later. Yeah. I got to start this tomorrow.
No, you'll get it. Like you probably will get it here like shortly.
Perfect.
It's not dependent on me sending it. I figured out how to automate.
Awesome.
But you know, another thing is like Cam and I, you know, we joked about this in pharmacy school. I mean, we were eating celery like madmen. Like what does celery have? Ton of electrolytes. It's mostly water, so it's good and hydrating. It's got your zinc salts in it. And, you know, we found out that I don't know if you guys know, this might be dating us, but like Peter North, legendary porn star for his loads. We're definitely dating ourselves, but, but you know, it's not like we were watching it in class, but we were just like making jokes about it. Right. Cause he's like this guy from the late 80s and 90s and he's known for it, but he was like, yeah, I eat celery before all my shoots. Like eat celery like crazy. And we were just like, ah, whatever. And then, you know, one day, like the smart kids we are, instead of listening to the lecture on cardiovascular disease or whatever, the guy that was sitting next to me and myself were plugging away on all the benefits of celery. And is this Peter North stuff real? But it's a super healthy food. It's very low calorie. It's got a lot of fiber. Cam sent us a meme one time. And it was like celery is like a toothbrush for your butt. And it had this guy like with this giant toothbrush just going to work on his friend. I don't think it was doing that, but it was just, it was kind of one of those things we thought was funny.
It was talking about the fiber on it. And it was like a very like 50s looking kind of cartoonish style. And the brush was a celery stalk and it was, you know, the fiber helps clean you out, helps kind of gather up everything and helps pull that stuff outside.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of potassium. So yeah, it's loaded with nutrients, very nutrient dense, very calorie low. It's a great food. And then watermelon, the last component, it has L-citrulline and L-arginine, two amino acids that will convert over to NO. So it helps dilate the blood vessels, again, lowering your blood pressure. But if you have dilated blood vessels, that means blood can get in somewhere.
Yeah.
So
increasing that blood flow. Okay.
Yeah. So we're all about the blood flow, baby.
Yeah. No, I respect that. Now, so it sounds like watermelon is a great food to have. Celery is another great food to have as a man. You definitely mentioned magnesium, the importance of that.
Beets. Don't forget the beets.
Beets. Beets is also
important. You can do golden beets or red beets. Golden are a little bit more tart. Red are, they're not really sweet, but they taste less like ground than the golden ones, right?
Got it. Okay. Are there any other foods that men should consume or men should avoid? It could also be drinks, food and drinks. Is there certain ones that they should be consuming or certain ones that they should be avoiding?
Well, I mean, yeah, like they have the obvious, like you have soda, right? Probably avoid or limit. Diet soda too is included. I would say foods to go after and foods that would really kind of provide benefit. Again, berries, all kinds of berries. Antioxidants like crazy, nutrients. So berries are probably a top. Citrus fruit is great, especially if you like need to take an iron supplement or you're deficient in iron. It helps absorb iron absorption. I'm a big proponent of like eating whole foods. So if it grows in the ground, if it runs and walks and all that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? Depending on we don't really harp too much on like diet on the podcast because people take it way too personally, I think. And then everybody like has all this advice about like, oh no, you should eat this and all this kind of stuff. Like if you're eating whole food and it's, you know, coming right from the source, probably your best bet. If you're eating things that have been processed multiple times, you're losing nutrients every single time the processing process happens. You're just kind of breaking it down into sugar again, right? So those types of things are good. You know, I've read some studies that dairy has a place for like it has a correlation with high blood pressure and diabetes and stuff. So maybe limit the dairy, maybe like the really fatty or like processed dairy. I like my cheese, you know, but I'm not crushing it like all the time every day, right?
Yeah.
So those kind of things. And then I would say, you know, consuming meat and things like that, watch where it's coming from. What farms is it coming from? Is it pumped full of antibiotics? I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into that. So, I mean, if you're able to go out there and hunt it and kill it yourself, all the power to you. Not everybody has access to that though, right? So that's like the general knowledge, like stay away from the processed sugars, still enjoy your life, right? But like, it's not an everyday all the time thing. And then more so whole foods, whole fruits and vegetables, those kind of things. And then, you know, limit the fried foods. Like, so like there could be whole foods that you deep fry. It kind of takes away the nutritional value. Right. So
gotcha.
And just ways in preparing. So, I mean, if you can cook, even better. If you eat out a lot, that's tough because like you don't really know what's going into it. You have a general idea. You don't know how much salt they're putting in there. You don't know how much extra sugar, whatever is going into the food. So if you can prepare it at your house or like with a loved one or whatever, probably your best way to go.
Yeah. So diet can, as Pat mentioned, can go either way really quickly. A lot of people, like, I'm not about restricting like meat types. You know, you hear the old adage, doctors talking about cutting out red meat. I love red meat. Like, no,
yeah, who doesn't?
But like, you need to limit it. Like going out and getting that big tomahawk ribeye, like don't eat that whole thing. We can eat the whole thing. Don't get us wrong. We know you can do it.
Yeah.
But like, that's a big piece. You don't need to do it. There's a lot of fat in it. You need to like maybe cook it and slice that one up between a lot of people, but also add on some fresh vegetables to that. Because a lot of guys don't think about vegetables. They consider potatoes vegetables. That's a starch. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, no, you need to get some vegetables. One of the big things that kind of hit me in Afghanistan is that you really started to miss like raw vegetables. So like, since I've been out for 10 years, and ever since then, like, I love just fucking munching down raw vegetables. So like Pat was saying, we'd be in the back of the class with like a veggie platter, just chewing that bad boy down.
Mm-hmm.
It's just for something refreshing about the food. It is fresh, whether it's, you know, farmed downtown or farmed across the country. It's grown, picked, washed, and then we're eating it as it is. It doesn't need to be cooked. It doesn't need to be seasoned, added salts, none of that stuff. So don't limit your diet based on stuff you read online or some guy is yelling at you through a YouTube commercial. But like, kind of what tastes good to you, we know what's good food and what's bad food. Like, that's my biggest thing. Like, we don't need somebody telling us that eating 4 Krispy Kreme donuts a morning is bad. We know this. You want a Krispy Kreme, we get it. People want the urge. You need to learn to moderate that and then balance that out. If you have a Krispy Kreme in the morning, keep it low, obviously. But then your rest of the day, you need to plan. Be ahead. Have a salad for lunch. Plan on a nice light dinner. You need to balance that sugar back out. Just kind of be wise about it.
Definitely. Definitely. And you touched on a word that is going to lead to my next question for y'all, which is, how do you all balance things? I feel like this is one of the toughest things, whether you're a healthcare professional, a student, it doesn't matter what phase in life you're in. It's always so challenging to balance nutrition, sleep, fitness, work, side hobbies like the podcast. Like, how do you all find time to do all these amazing things that you're doing right now?
I can start off with saying that we don't.
What's the honest and transparent answer?
Yeah, who's that? I've never heard of her.
We learned, you learned that in pharmacy school, but learned a lot in the Marine Corps is how to triage. You have problems that are going to be more immediate. You have problems that can wait a little while. So you need to kind of use some of that awareness, some of that big wrinkly brain and think, you know, this is a problem, but it can actually be held off till later. I need to focus on this today. So same with your scheduling. So as we kind of touched on a little bit right now, I've moved to Kentucky. So I'm in the process of buying a house. I'm in the process of training for work. I go to work at midnight. We got podcasts. I got all this other stuff. So trying to line this stuff up is super difficult. And something I'm sure a lot of people have heard is that your time balance is like a triangle. And then as you're taking like sides away from the triangle, like you have to like take it away from the other side as well. So like, or if it's add, you have to take away, something like that. So like, if you want more time to work out, you maybe have to take time out to sleep. Because that's what a lot of time it comes down to. For pharmacy school, obviously, if you want more time studying, you're not sleeping. So you're folding that sleep side down pretty hard. But that's where most of my stuff gets subtracted from, is from sleeping, unfortunately. So like Pat said, if you keep it consistent, like, you kind of can give yourself a wiggle room. Like, if you're shooting for 8 hours, but you can operate off 6, off 4 pretty decently, you kind of get that wiggle room to say, you know, I kind of feel like going for a walk or going for a run right now. It's going to take an hour out of my sleep time, but I know I'll be okay for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Balance is impossible, to be honest.
That, honestly, that's how I feel. Like, people ask me all the time, oh, how do you time management? And it's like, yeah, I can manage my time, but that doesn't mean my life is balanced. Like, that's two different things.
Right.
I'm very unbalanced. And I always had this saying in undergrad, I can only focus on 3 things. So you pick your 3. So if it's going to be school, partying, women, studying instead of school. So I'll say studying, woman, partying, fitness, and sleep. You pick your 3. You can't do it all, buddy. So it's kind of like you mentioned, like a triangle. That's kind of always been my mindset. And so, you know, freshman year was a little bit different. my three that I picked then is different than what I pick now. But like in pharmacy school, I knew I just had to focus on school. I had to focus on the podcast, and you can add side hobbies to that. And then I also had to focus on work. And so it's like, those are my three things. So it's just like, I really didn't have much time for sleep or going out. It's just, that's just the way it was.
Yeah. I think a big part of it is reading your body and finding out what you need.
Yeah.
Too. Understanding yourself is a really, really, really important trait, characteristic that we can all develop and get better at. If you're already good, you can always get better. I think that that's super important because then you can prioritize where you're at. Like, oh, I didn't really work out too much last week. I have the free time. I can work out this week. What's on the back burner? And you can shuffle stuff around. I mean, we all make it work. Again, like, we're high functioning individuals. And then, you know, if you want to add a family and kids or something into the mix, that creates, it makes it even harder, right? Because you got to pick up the kids from school, feed them, whatever. So I think the balance, finding balance is important, but you can only balance so many things.
Yeah.
So I agree. Prioritize yourself, guys. I mean, more so if you got a partner or wife or husband or whoever's listening, you know, it's super important to give to them. It's super important to give to your family, no doubt, but prioritize yourself. And it doesn't, I mean, obviously not every day, but give yourself the ability, find things that you enjoy or that you like, or like to read, whatever. You got to fill, I say it a lot, and it's kind of a yogi saying, but like, you got to be able to fill your cup before you can go out and fill others. So if your cup is empty, you ain't really doing a whole lot. I mean, you're getting the bare done, but if you really want to provide value to your loved ones, to be able to recharge yourself. And everybody's recharge is different, right? So you have to find what recharges you, that gets you and gives you the ability to take care of your family and take care of business and whatever you need to do.
Definitely. And to even add on to that a little bit, I think it's also important to not only prioritize yourself, but to also prioritize being around like-minded individuals. I read it in a book. It was Why Men Are Dogs, I believe. And I'm blanking on the author's name, but he mentioned one of the things that helped him was to always surround himself by like-minded men at least once a week. So it just worked out for his group that it was on Sundays. And he said it's the same thing for women. So if you're a woman that's listening, if you're a man that's listening, it doesn't matter. But be around like-minded individuals at least once a week, because then you start to build a camaraderie with a group of people. And it also helps you to have discussions. If everybody here has a spouse and you're having an issue with your spouse, you can bring it up here. It's a safe space, and they can talk to like, oh, these are things that I did that helped my relationship, or these are things that we did that didn't help, so don't do this. You know, it's like different perspectives and the ability to kind of be transparent, kind of build that camaraderie and friendship that we talked about earlier. That's important for a lot of men to have. And so that's something that I also want to add in there. It's like, yes, definitely prioritize yourself, and also prioritize building relationships with like-minded men or like-minded individuals to at least once a week, try to gather with like-minded individuals.
Oh yeah. Community and purpose. Oh yeah. Community and purpose is super important to longevity. You know, you can throw a lot of the other stuff out of the window, but if you don't have a purpose in life, that's it.
I agree. Now, that's basically it for everything I wanted to ask you all. Is there anything you all wanted to share or ask me at this time? We're free flowing, so it's.
I mean, I think this one's running pretty long for us today. So I don't know. I feel like we might need to come back to talk about our professional careers.
I was going to say, I'll definitely invite you all back again to talk about your professional careers, because that's
actually hung on with us. We'll be like, oh, what are these guys doing aside from making jokes all day?
Yeah. Yeah. And I already know, like, listening to how this episode is, I'm probably going to clip it up and drop pieces of it like every day for 1 week. So maybe it'll be like, this one will be more nutrition focused. This one will be mental health focused. This one more of like the general, like from Monday to Thursday. I think I'm going to kind of split it up into like four parts. to kind of like target the specific things that we were talking about. But yeah, is there anything you all wanted to touch, at least on this episode, because we can always get together again and dive deeper into what you all are personally doing with your careers. But
sure, I would say, of all, thanks for having us. And it's really awesome to be on a pharmacy podcast. We are both super proud to be pharmacists. I think if I had to close out, I would say, you know, pharmacists is a pharmacy podcast. And I would say, sometimes it seems like it sucks. I mean, for lack of a better term, I feel like, you know, going through rotations in school and my first job and stuff in pharmacy, I feel like other healthcare professions, sometimes it's getting better, but they kind of shit on us until they need us. Right.
Yeah.
Yo, it's just pharmacy. Hey man, you check that Vanco level yet? Like that kind of thing, you know, or stuff like that. I want all the pharmacists to know out there that they're valued and that they play a huge role in the healthcare system, and that you guys save a lot of asses every day, whether it's prescribers, patients, all of it. And to not get discouraged by, you know, whatever the climate is, because it might change soon. Don't be surprised. And then going through pharmacy school, you know, I don't know if any PAs or MPs or whatever are listening, I don't really care, but going through pharmacy school, I mean, I'm just going to fire it out there. Going through pharmacy school, we learned so much about treatments, disease states, bedside manner, how to treat people, right? I mean, some of these skills are acquired. Some of these you kind of already have, but at the end of the day, pharmacists have some of diverse, incredible skill sets in healthcare over all of them, right? Our knowledge of medications, disease states, dosing, clearance, metabolism, all that stuff. No other healthcare profession has that. I mean, if they do, it's a little bit, right? But I mean, we have a lot of skills and knowledge. So take those skills and knowledge. I mean, they're applicable in a lot of different settings and you can help a lot of people with them. So I mean, I had to get a little creative, but with my personal profession, we can talk about that some other time. But
yeah,
you know, really, you guys, like us pharmacists, we have some great skills. Use them. If you can use them outside of your practice setting to help better somebody's life, do it. Because I think that if you ask the average person, like, hey, what do you think of a pharmacist? A lot of them be like CVS or Walgreens or, you know, whatever. And they don't know how much, like if you've ever been to the hospital, a pharmacist has helped you. Not have met them, you didn't know it, but somebody reviewed your drugs. Somebody reviewed the drugs that you're about to get. So, you know, they're, even though we're kind of behind the scenes, we're always helping people. And I think that the public, if the public really knew how valuable that we were, I think the dynamic would change immensely. So advocate for yourselves when you're out there, if you have time. I know that's a tough one, but you know, let's shift the public opinion of what we are. We're not just three letters, you know, sitting behind a counter, you know, slapping a label on it. And that's all I got.
You're not just counting pills and slapping labels on the bottom.
Right.
Yep.
Cam, did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, we're pretty good on this. We're pretty solid block all this, but you know, like Pat said, we're definitely a big resource and it's not something that goes away. Changing fields, like I'm not going to use a lot of that medicine knowledge, the regular medicine knowledge anymore, but like you still want to keep it fresh because those questions do come up. And the fact that we're on a pharmacy podcast with pharmacists is fantastic. There is definitely not a whole lot. I mean, there is always, you know, a good choice selection of pharmacist podcast you can be on. We're slowly getting up there. We're kind of starting to creep up on the numbers on that, but it's good to have other ones out there spreading the good word, putting the fight out. Kind of go along with the advocate for yourself thing. Be confident in your skills. Like we all went to school. We all got just beaten on for 4 years for this stuff. You passed your boards. You passed, if you did residencies, you got your, you know, your face pushed in for maybe 2-3 years. Don't be unconfident. Don't be unconfident about it. Like you've earned it. Be out there. Get your values. Flex that knowledge on them.
Yeah. I like that. I think a lot of times I try to empower residents. I try to empower students like, hey, you've been going through so much training and knowledge, like use it, apply it, use your voice to speak up. If you believe something is wrong, you need to say something. If you can look at this and you see this dose is wrong, don't always assume that the provider knows what's best. They may not know. They might have made a mistake. And half the time you mention something, they're like, oh, I did that? I didn't mean to do that. Can you please change that for me? Thank you. And it's, you know, it's, and that's the power of you believing in yourself, believing in all the work that you've put in to get you ready and prepared for this situation. And so that's something I always try to tell people, whether you're a student, a resident, a new young pharmacist, it's like, man, you went through the work. All right. You got to believe in yourself and you got to trust your work ethic and the process that you went through, that now you are capable of handling the situation that you're currently in. But thank you so much, guys, for coming on. If anybody is interested in tuning in to the Men's Health Unscripted podcast, where can they find you at?
Hold up 1 second. Did you guys hear that? No? Dang, I have a really good mic. Hear that?
No, hit the mic maybe.
You guys hear that?
No, it actually blocked all that out.
Dude, crazy. This new mic is awesome. Well, I was banging on my desk and I would say, y'all hear that? That's Jovan's dick hitting the table.
No. Not yet. It's too early.
Maybe years later.
Yeah, maybe the next episode. It's right? Going to be a late night special.
You can find the Men's Health Unscripted podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. We are growing our YouTube channel. It generally has the podcast we're working on, adding some like small clips and things like that. You can find us. Well, out and about in Tampa, if you're part of the local, like anything wrestling scene, we're at a lot of the local wrestling shows and stuff like that. And then you can find us Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. TikTok is like where all the Daddy Juice tutorials are. So if you're on TikTok,
I'll follow you on TikTok. I'll follow you right now.
Do it. I'm making it. I'm making the Daddy Juice on TikTok live.
I got to see this.
Let's see. Yeah, Instagram is we have a lot of stuff on there. And then just anywhere you listen to podcasts, all of our outlets are everywhere. So, you know, that's where you can find us. We talk about a lot of different topics. It sometimes goes off on a tangent because, you know, we listen to our listeners and what's on their mind kind of gets on our mind. And we try to find the experts and the help to be able to at least articulate some of the things. Like, we're not experts in it. We're trying to figure it out ourselves.
That's how I feel.
So, yeah, that's how I feel. We're figuring out ourselves. You know, we're trying to be good men to our partners and families and all that. And, you know, really at the end of the day, the impact and how we spend our time is really important. So, you know, be kind to the men in your life. If you're that man, be kind to yourself.
That's good. That's true.
Yeah. That's and if true. You see
a lot of us aren't. If you're not kind to somebody else, you may not be kind to yourself.
Right. And if you see us at a trade show, come tell us about your prostate.
You won't be the first one, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. You're allowed to be honest and transparent with the guys here. Let us know everything. That's okay.
It was funny. I'll tell the story real quick before we go. We were in school and we were at, Cars and Coffee. It's a big car show here in Tampa.
At a Maserati dealership, I think it was.
Yeah, we were at Dimmitt and they had like Maseratis. They had all these like big cars. My old boss got us in there. He had some nice cars. So he knew the rep there and we kind of did some outreach at the car show. And it was one of our first outreach opportunities. And we noticed that guys would look at us and be like, yeah, no. And just, they wouldn't come 20 feet.
We had that bubble around our table. Like they were not coming anywhere near that bubble around us.
They wanted nothing to do with y'all.
Nothing. And this dude comes walking by and he's like staring at it. And his wife is pointing at the table and you could see her being like, you need that. Like,
you need to go get it checked right now.
And my man Cam just across this room full of people goes, hey, we see you over there. Come over here and tell us about your prostate. And that is ever since then. I mean, we've been on a steep incline.
Yeah. Ever since then, you guys have just gone through the roof. Sky's the limit now.
Yeah, and he did that, and then some guy actually did come over and tell us about his prostate and like every other problem he had, and we were like, whoa.
Yeah, he gave us like a quick like 10-year medical history.
Yeah, I know how that goes. Being in the hospital is just like, I just came in to figure out what med you take at home, but thank you so much for telling me your life story. I appreciate that.
Your grandma sounds like a wonderful lady.
Exactly. Well, give your grandma my best, I guess. And thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And there's no way. The other thing that you say in the ER is, well, you don't have to say it. There's no way that that plunger went up your butt because the toilet. Okay.
You chipped and fell.
Like, and it's okay, but don't tell us that you sat down in the dark and that's how it got up there.
Yeah. Amen.
Because we know.
Amen. Sometimes you got to experiment.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to experiment when nobody's looking. But hey, that's a conversation for another day.
Next episode.
Yeah. Tune in.
Find out all the funny things that healthcare professionals find in people's butts. You know,
I've heard of some things. I haven't found nothing, but I've heard some things.
I did a rotation at a hospital here in Plant City, and I think I had just about seen it all in 6 weeks. Like I saw multiple things in people's butts. Like I did a little time in the ED, multiple things in people's butts. This guy like perforated his intestine with some stuff. I saw a lady with a TPN come in, like a TPN in and eating a bucket of fried chicken.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, do you need that? And she's like, yes, I need both. And so
important.
And was very angry that I was like suggested, like, hey, you can eat like orally. You don't need the TPN. And she's like, no, I need it. It makes me feel good. And you're not taking this away. You're just a student. And I was like, hey, whatever. I'm out of here in like 2 weeks. I, you know,
whatever you want, lady.
Yeah. So I don't know. Seen some crazy stuff.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything too crazy lately. It's been pretty calm in Orlando, but I have seen some crazy things in the past. Definitely. Definitely. But no, it's been a pleasure to have you on, guys. I love seeing more podcasts. I love learning about more pharmacy podcasts and different platforms because it's needed. We all have a voice, as you all have basically mentioned and kind of shown here today, some valuable insight, and people need to hear this. I learned a lot today. I'm sure my audience has learned a lot today. I'm sure anybody that's new coming to the channel, to the page today, has learned a lot, whether it's about mental health, whether it's about nutrition, whether it's about fitness. It doesn't have to be one specific thing, but it all ties in together in improving men's health. And that's something that you all are passionate about. And a lot of people are not being open about it. A lot of people are not talking about it. And a lot of people aren't talking about it when it comes from the healthcare perspective, when it comes to a healthcare professional. So I applaud you gentlemen for definitely doing that. Thank you, Cam. Thank you, Pat, for definitely taking that step forward and kind of carrying that flag and that baton for men. And then maybe we'll see more people. Maybe you'll inspire people to kind of fill in the shoes behind you to kind of continue to spread the word about men's health. So super excited for everything you guys have going on and everything that's going to be coming up soon. So as I said before, if you don't know, now you know. Men's Health Unscripted podcast. Definitely tune in, listen to them. You can check them out on TikTok, on Instagram. I'm literally looking at the TikTok right now. I see the Daddy Juice. So if y'all want to know how he makes his smoothies, you got to definitely go to TikTok, follow, like, definitely share it. I'm going to be doing that because I'm a smoothie king, so I love smoothies. So I'm definitely going to have to try these recipes and let y'all know what I think. But honestly, it's been a pleasure. I'm so glad to have you all on, and I definitely want to have another episode with both of you so that way we can kind of talk about what you're doing in pharmacy, because definitely with you, Cam, because I've yet to meet somebody who's working in your field as a nuclear pharmacist. Like, I've been wanting to meet someone for like a year now. So it just so happens that we just clicked.
That kind of sucks because you guys have some big labs in Orlando. So there are definitely some opportunities for what we call low energy there. And we know one of our classmates who worked there. So maybe in the future we can link you guys up, and because I do high energy. So maybe he can give you a low energy perspective as well.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know there was a different thing. And is it in Orlando or is it out in like Melbourne area?
His is in Orlando.
Orlando. Okay, perfect. Yeah, because I know there's one in Melbourne. I think there might be one in Sanford too. I didn't know Orlando also had some nuclear pharmacy positions. So that's cool. Yeah. Hey, you live and you learn, people. You live and you learn. So there's a lot of different exciting careers out there, a lot of exciting fields within pharmacy. And so please do not settle. All right. That's the point of this podcast, is to expose you to different careers, to expose you to a different mindset And so if you learned anything from this podcast, definitely go ahead and comment, share it with a friend, and definitely tune in to Pat and Cam's Men's Health Unscripted podcast. Thank you guys for listening.
Thanks for having us on.